When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100 plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Good morning. Welcome in. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Trillville Thursday, coming to you live from Twin Peaks and Buckhead.
Trill.
Good morning to you, Randy. How are you?
What's happening, man? All good, Andy Walker, as we are, like you said, out on a Thursday out in these Buckhead streets as we get ready for the weekend. Obviously, tonight's a big one of the college football playoff game, which is a big deal.
Yeah.
We will have Arthur Blank on our station live in about 20 minutes as he is it the state of the franchise?
It would have to be because I don't think there's any new news.
I mean, unless he's announcing something.
Unless he's announcing something,
yeah,
which we don't know.
But.
And we know that they fired everybody,
right.
So that's
right.
Happened. But he hasn't talked about it yet, so certainly that'll be addressed. But, yeah, I mean, from what you just told me, it's one chair at the podium.
Yep.
Arthur Blank.
Yep.
He's the owner.
Yep.
Buck stops with me.
Damn sure does.
Let's talk about it.
Okay.
So I like that.
Yeah.
I like that. Because last time.
Does the buck stop with him?
I hope.
Because I always look at it when the buck starts
with him.
I know. When I always say that, I always look at it at the point when somebody gets fired. Well, you know, all of it trickles to me. That's why I lost my job. Well, Arthur Blank ain't losing nothing.
Right. But, I mean, the buck has to keep going somewhere.
I don't know, man. I don't know. I'm gonna have to rethink that on my end.
Well, I just like the fact that it's like a clear message, right? Because again, we've been through this, right? This isn't the first one,
right.
Sadly.
So, what do you think he'll say different this time?
I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know, but he'll say it.
Yeah, that's what I'm like. I don't want to.
He's not gonna have his right hand man up there and his left hand man and this guy and where's Terry Fontenot? Terry Fontenot's over there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Last time it was a little messy.
Are we gonna be informed by anything today?
I don't know.
I don't think so. I don't think so.
I'm optimistic. I'm optimistic that we're gonna learn some news.
Definitely not.
No, we're not gonna learn any news. I mean, he's gonna talk because again, we know what happened.
Right.
You might get a little why. I don't know how much why you're gonna get, but you'll get a little why. And you can't say what he's gonna do next because. They haven't hired anybody.
Let's do it next week.
Is
it?
We'll have another one.
You know what I'm saying?
They'll have another big old one.
But I mean,
I'm with you. I don't understand why now,
right.
If they haven't done what they're going to do yet. And again, they will have press conferences when they hire those people.
Right.
When there's a head coach and a general manager, they'll set up on a stage and take questions from the media. I don't know. Maybe he felt like he needed to address the fans. I'd be like, look, like. Again,
it's unacceptable.
Enough is enough.
It's unacceptable.
He will say that.
Yeah,
yeah.
Quite a few times.
Yeah,
quite a few times. But then also, one of the most popular athletes to come through this city in a long time was traded mid game.
Yeah,
and
awkward.
You remember yesterday? I was like, oh, they about to get him up out of here this weekend.
Yeah,
and then the rumored trade compensation or whatever started, you know, showing up and everything. And then I'm sitting there watching the game. Not watching. It's on TV. Like, oh, Trey's there. And then I see, look at my phone. Oh, Trey's been traded.
Uh-huh.
And Trey's still on the bench.
Oh, Trey's still there.
Trey's still there, huh. And he was traded.
Well, that's odd.
Huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a little bit weird how
because
it all
usually
happened.
That happens when there's like a eighth or ninth guy on the bench.
Yeah.
Or something like that. They'll be traded.
Or sometimes
in
baseball.
In baseball or something like that. But till you're a franchise player?
I don't remember.
During the game?
I don't remember this happening in basketball. I certainly don't remember it happening with
a franchise player.
A franchise
player.
So
this couldn't have waited till like 10 o'clock?
I don't know.
You know, was the last flight out of Atlanta to D.C. at 11:30?
And I wouldn't be surprised if the front offices wanted it too, but you know when Shams gets his hands on something, that thing gets tweeted.
Yeah.
And as soon as it gets tweeted, then it's happening.
Yeah.
And yeah, I don't know. I don't know. It was weird. And then he left for a minute, and then he came back. Right?
Yeah, but maybe go take a phone call from his agent.
Sure.
Yeah.
But he didn't have to come back.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, let me go back and sit here. Let me soak this in.
Yeah.
From this side.
And then obviously the arena knew. Like, I mean, people have phones,
right.
So it started to circulate the arena. And yeah, it was a pretty weird scene last night, the way that it all went down. But it went down, and you know, this is the first time that it genuinely felt like it was inevitable,
yeah.
right? Like,
yep.
there, I think they've been close a couple times. I think that there's
really?
Been – I mean, there's conversations.
Right.
I mean, I think there's been some serious conversations in the offseason before. But it didn't ever make sense. It never made any sense to move on from Trae Young.
Yep. Does it make sense now?
You can – yeah, I think you can – I think you can rationalize it. I still think – I don't know. I mean, I still – we'll never know. But I still think this group with him, when healthy, would have been a pretty good group. Who cares? Because we'll never know.
Right.
I could say
right.
that until the cows come home. It doesn't matter. It'll never be proven or disproven. But now you have a player who's a franchise cornerstone that's not him.
Yeah.
Who's younger and cheaper.
Yeah.
So
and he better be right.
Oh yeah. I mean that's the other
yeah.
part of
yeah.
it is like the part of the story that I'm not so sure that I agree with is. Everyone calling it like a win-win, like, oh, this is good for both. Well, maybe. I mean, the Hawks might be better going forward. We'll see. I mean, I hope that they are.
I mean, I think when you say it like that, everybody, and I'm not talking about me and you, but looking at it as this season, how the records were with and without.
Sure.
And so
yeah.
you
13-9 without
yeah,
him
yeah,
and
so,
not
yeah,
good with
yeah,
him.
Yeah, so that's
and,
how,
yeah,
I mean, I think
sure.
that's how a lot of people are viewing it and everything like that. I mean, this was, and I know I saw a lot, well, you know, star players asking to go to a worse team. Trae wants his money.
Yeah.
Trae wants his money.
Yeah.
And Washington more likely will give him the money that Atlanta was going to give him.
We'll see.
Not saying. Yeah, I think
that's
that,
his gamble.
I think that's what he did.
Yeah.
I don't know the man's heart. That's
yeah.
just a feeling that I have.
Because
don't nobody want to go to damn Washington and they're not drafted there. You know what I mean? Like
some people don't even want to get drafted.
Exactly.
There.
So yeah. So I mean, but yeah. Good. I mean, it's a transition. Like I said, Trae's been a face of this franchise. Trae's been one of the most popular athletes in this city. And now, you know, after seven plus years, he's gone.
Yep.
And now you move on from it and all those different things. But yeah, it's a big deal
oh,
that
yeah.
Trae Young was traded.
It's a very big deal.
Yeah.
It unfortunately ends the same way that a lot of tenures end. For big-time athletes. Like, he gets traded in the middle of a season where he's hurt for C.J. McCollum and Corey Kispert, who are nice players, but certainly not star players.
Right.
Dominique Wilkins got traded for 20 games of Danny Manning.
Danny
you know what I mean?
Manning.
Matt Ryan got traded for a fourth-round draft pick after the team tried to replace him with Deshaun Watson.
Yep.
Julio Jones got traded for a couple third-rounders.
Yep.
Freddie Freeman didn't even get traded.
Yeah,
Freddie Freeman,
go.
Whatever,
yep.
because he still wanted to be here.
He'll like, cry again this year.
It almost never ends great for your favorite player in your city with your team, unfortunately.
Right. Yep. Joseph Martinez.
Right.
I mean,
like, we all want our favorite players to be carried off on the shoulders of their teammates after a championship, but it rarely happens like that. Normally, either they get a little older and the team has to make a decision, or it just kind of runs its course.
Yep.
And that's kind of what it felt like happened here. The Hawks tried multiple times to build pieces around Trae that could be a winner,
yep.
and they never really did. I mean, they got it right in 21. I do think that there's some ignored context about that run that we just kind of in the rearview mirror have decided to tell ourselves the story how we wanted it to be
right.
versus what it
what
was.
It is.
I mean, they went to the Eastern Conference Finals, and they won more games in the Eastern Conference Finals than any team in Atlanta Hawks history, and that's true.
Yes.
And if that's fine. And that's all you need to say, if that's all you want to say.
Right.
But that wasn't like some great group, right?
No.
Like that wasn't a great team, and it's not super surprising that they weren't able to recreate that with that group. All right, they tore it down, tried it again with a different guy, didn't work. Tore that down, tried it again with this group. I still think that this group would have been pretty good had they been on the court together, but you never got to see it. And so now you pull the plug and move forward. I do also think that it shouldn't be that surprising. Disappointing for sure. I'm not telling people not to be disappointed. But it shouldn't be that surprising that the compensation that you get for him wasn't anything greater than it was.
Yeah, we mentioned it yesterday.
And I don't think it should be that surprising that the market for him wasn't more robust than it was based on us sitting here for the last 7 years talking about how hard it is to build a team around
him. Yeah, I mean, we mentioned this yesterday. I was in
yeah.
a barbershop today. I'm in barbershop today, Andy. Man, I can't believe we didn't get done. I was like, what do you think you're going to get? A second round. Was that going to make you really feel better?
I think people confuse second-round draft picks with in the NBA NFL, and the
yes,
NFL.
Yes,
yeah.
When Damari Carroll and dudes get traded for five second – no, what's the guy that
Sadiq
came
Bay.
Here? Sadiq Bay. Gets
traded five second-rounders for Sadiq Bay. Like, no one cares about second-round
draft picks.
And I was
like, are you serious? Is that – would you really think that was the thing?
Yeah. I got 700 other things to say about this because I do think like you said, it's a very big deal. It's the end of an era for the Atlanta Hawks. Hopefully, a start of a better one, but we'll see. Like, no way of knowing what's the, just like with the Falcons.
Yeah.
Yes, we agree that what was happening wasn't working. Are you sure that what happens next is going to be great?
No,
I'm not.
I know this. I know that they got a picture of the media in there. Joe Patrick got a sports jacket on. He's very professional right
telling
now.
Telling you, man. Every Wade Ford tailgate show, he dressed up like GQ every single time.
Really?
Yeah, man. Joe's a different dude these days, man. All right, we got to take a break. First hour.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven. Fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
The show brought to you by Bobby Jones Golf Course, Atlanta Golf Open. To everyone, visit BobbyJonesTC.com. We'll come back and we will go live to Arthur Blank press conference after this on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Trillville Thursday, live at Twin Peaks in Buckhead, where we will be until 2 o'clock. In a couple of minutes from right now, we will send you live to another part of Buckhead.
Yes.
Where Arthur Blank's foundation is
located. You got the map pulled up?
Well, I just wanted to make sure.
How far are we?
Not too far. Yeah. Not too far. I just wanted to make sure I was calling it the right thing.
Right.
The Arthur M. Blank Foundation. That's where the press conference is taking place. Beautiful brick building.
Lovely building.
Right over there by my kid's pediatrician, so we go by there all the time. Very nice. Very nice building. All right. I can tell you. Twin Peaks, Buckhead.
I'll say 7 minutes.
I think probably 12 minutes.
12 minutes, okay.
12 minutes, because, you know, because you're kind of cutting through those side roads, you know?
Right.
But, yeah, not far from here.
Okay.
I mean, we'll send you over there where Arthur Blank, singularly.
Yeah. It's a table, and it's one microphone, and it's a chair. And obviously, the assembled media is there. Most of our people, I saw Sam Crenshaw. I saw Mark Zeno, tight shirt wearing ass. Yeah. I saw Mike Johnson in the back, so I'm assuming the morning shift's going to be there. I think Steak is going over there.
It's always interesting there, to me in situations like this where, I mean, this is as fancy of a thing as we go to,
right?
Sort of like what the attire for that event means to certain people.
Yeah.
Joe, sport coat.
Yeah, he looks
very button nice. Up. Zeno, tightest shirt he owns.
He paints on the shirt.
I did see Mike Johnson found the occasion nice enough to not wear a backwards hat, so that was nice. He has no hat on in there, which is pretty good.
Oh, good for Mike. Carl will blazer it up.
Oh, sure.
Carl? Yeah, Carl will blazer it up. Even though they're at the Atlanta Boat Show today.
Don't let the sports radio fool you. Yeah. Carl can get real fancy.
Yeah, Carl's Carl. Carl
got that TV in him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he does. But, yeah, Deuce and Bell, they will be at the Atlanta Boat Show today at the Georgia World Congress Center, broadcast live 2 to 6. The largest and longest boat show in the region will be today.
Okay.
So we'll hang out with them. But, yeah, I mean, I'm not saying I'm not interested in what he's saying. I'm just like, what can he tell you that's going to – when you say the fan, what do fans want to hear? What do fans expect to hear?
They want to hear him say a lot of what he said in that letter.
Okay.
I think the letter.
That's what I said. He didn't have a letter sitting on the table. Maybe read it.
Might as well.
Like a voiceover, Morgan Freeman does.
Sure.
Yeah, something like that.
Sure. I mean, and he's got a, he's got a commanding, leader type of voice.
Right.
You want to hear that voice. But again, I think they just want to hear from the guy that makes the decisions of the franchise that they root for that hadn't made the playoffs in 8 years.
Right.
Fans are starving for something. And unfortunately, nothing he says today is going to put him in the playoffs this weekend.
Correct.
It'd be great if they could somehow do that, but that unfortunately ain't how it works. And again, all of what gets said today, while important and hopefully informative, doesn't mean nearly as much as the hires they make over the next couple of weeks,
right.
The moves they make in the offseason, and the games that they play next fall.
Yeah.
We always talk about this. There's nothing that can be said in a press conference that's as important as what happens on third down.
No.
And they can, you know, of course it matters. Of course it does, which is why we're going to be carrying it live for the next half hour or so. But, yeah, I mean, I do hope that we get some sort of idea as to what's about to happen next. But I don't even know if you can. You know, you can't tip your hand. You can't tamper, all that kind of stuff. So, you know, we'll see. We should have thought of a drinking game because we're at a bar.
Yes.
We're going to be sitting here listening to him talk for half an hour. He's got to have a phrase or two that he leans on, right? What's he have? Unacceptable?
Yeah. I'm thinking unacceptable.
Okay.
And fans.
Fans.
Yes.
God.
That's
what
an easy one.
What, order one of those big beers and take a drink every single time he says fans?
Yeah. But, no, I mean, it is going to be a Q&A. Because I know Mike Conte had a sit-down with Mr. Blank that we'll play later on in the show. But then he's going to open up for questions. Let's see. Matt Ryan will be brought up.
Oh, yeah. But he won't be able to comment on that because
timetable.
Their interview process is ongoing.
Timetable.
Oh, they just started the timer over at 6 minutes. So we got 6 more minutes.
Okay, well, I mean.
This is good because I wasn't done talking about Trey.
Okay, well, go ahead.
I don't think you were either.
Go ahead. Get yours on.
Well, I guess we were kind of in the middle of talking about the return package and the market,
Trey. Right.
And I don't blame people for being, you know, this is one of the best players in the history of the franchise. And you're not getting back much future assets, I don't think. I mean, Kispert's got years remaining on his deal, but he's sort of a role player that's going to shoot the ball off the bench, which is fine. I think C.J. McCollum will probably have a fairly decent role with this team for the remainder of the year, but it's an expiring contract. It's weird that the end of Trey's tenure becomes a money-saving move so you can make a bigger move later. Because the trade deadline's not tomorrow. You know what I mean? Like, this wasn't a deal that was spurred on by a deadline.
No.
This was just two sides that were ready for change.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Which is also why the market wasn't robust.
Yeah.
You're not allowing people to bid against each other because it wasn't a deadline. And, again, if you would have waited to the deadline, I don't know that the market would have gotten much more robust either, because we've talked about this for years. Trey's a very hard player to build a roster around.
Yes,
clearly. The Hawks have tried to do that for 7 years, and this is how it ends.
Right.
So trading him somewhere that hasn't built the roster around him is going to be hard.
Yes.
Like, you're not going to find a good team, really, that's interested in moving for this guy right now. So it was Washington, and I think we understand why financially. They talk about him helping young players develop. Okay, maybe. They have $70 million in cap space next offseason. Trey wants a max contract.
Yeah.
I hope he gets it, and we'll see. But it's just not, I don't know, it's not super surprising to me given the timeline and given how difficult it was for this organization to build around him
that
other organizations in the NBA weren't lined up to offer huge compensation to get him back.
No, but I think the reason, one of the reasons why it was a speedy negotiation is because it was initiated. It was more or less, okay, all right, guys, I understand this don't seem like it's going to work. Well, and then we understand that, you know, whenever your franchise player, whatever, is where Trey is contract-wise, it usually gets another one. You know, and when that wasn't done, then you go back to, well, I'm a lame duck kind of feeling, you know, because I don't want to opt into this. And then you're telling me I get hurt, and all of a sudden it's possible I won't be able to make the All-NBA to get the max and things like that. So let me get up out of here. Let me get up out of here and go somewhere that's going to – because Trey's gonna be 25-10 anywhere he goes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, 20-10, whatever you want to call it, anywhere he goes. But I think more than anything was, like you said, the liability on defense, the inability to play off the ball. I won't say it hurt him. That's just who he is, you know. And I know the whole DeJounte, he thought it was gonna work. You gonna play off the ball, all these different things. That never really happened. Now you go to a spot where you're not gonna win a lot. You know, I think Trey Young's a really good player, but he's not a force multiplier like that with a team like that.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
You know, they've got a lot of young players that they're trying to figure out which ones they like and which ones they don't. And Trey has a player option for $50 million next year.
Yes.
So I don't know what needs to happen in the final 40 games or so this year. I mean, he needs to get healthy first
because
obviously he's missed the last few games. I think he's okay from the leg thing, but he's still the knee that he was dealing with is probably still lingering. He just didn't look like himself in the games that he played after that injury.
Right.
So he's got to get right so he can get out there and show him what he can do. I don't know what they need to see in the second half of this season to where they're going to be like, all right, cool. Let's give Trey a max contract. Unless that was agreed.
That's the thing about
unless
it.
That's already
and that's why I said, that's why we were talking about it. Like, he picked Washington for a specific reason. And it didn't have to do with basketball. I mean, the team and the personnel. I know Travis Schlenk is there and everything. I get that part. But no, he went up there because they have the bread to be able to give him what he wants.
Yeah.
I ain't mad at him.
No, I'm not either. Yeah. I'm not either. I think Trey probably now is about to enter the part of his career where
– make a break.
He's got to – Well, no, I mean, I think he's made it. I mean, Trey's made 300 mil.
No, I'm not talking about that part of it, the part of sustainability in one spot.
Yeah, but also, like, he just has to ask himself, like, what's the priority for the remainder of my career? Is it to get as much money as possible, or is it to try to win some games? Because Trey's going to get a lot of money from bad teams for the next 10 years if he wants.
I'll take that.
Sure, that's fine. I got no problem with that. But if he wants to win something, he's probably going to have to take a little bit less than what he's been getting.
Less money and less role?
Yeah.
Less money
and less
role.
Well, he'll be a starter, but like
– No, but I'm saying less role.
Less what?
Lesser role.
Yeah.
Trey
Young cannot be the best player,
like
a championship team. We've said that for years. It was that the Hawks really want to get where they want to go with Trey. They have to have someone better than him, if not two people better than him. Now he's no longer on the team that he was drafted by that's trying to build around him. Now he's out there.
Right.
You know what I mean? So if he wants to play for a winner, you're not going to be a max player, and you're probably not going to be, you know, the focal point of the offense. I think Trey could be a great point guard.
I do too.
And facilitator.
For a team that needs one.
For a team that has guys. Like, yeah. But is he willing to do that because he's not going to make half as much money as he does?
He's been great on Minnesota last year.
Sure.
Been great.
Or Orlando.
Yes.
I think the Lakers he could play with. It's a little weird because it's Luka, but still, I think there's a lot of spots where it could work right now in the NBA. It's just a matter of you're not going to make the same amount of money, and your role's not going to be the same. If you want to have a 30% usage rate and make a max contract and win 30 games a year,
take it.
Fine. There's nothing wrong with that. Who cares?
Take it.
You know, it's just to me now, it's just a matter of, you know, what do you want the second? I don't even say second half because he's only 27 years old. But like, what do you want the next part of your career to be? Because he's going to have this year and maybe next year in Washington, and then after that, what is it? Like, is it try to get the maximum amount of money? Or to try to see where I can fit and see if I can't get someplace where I can win.
But I think if you look at it from what you're saying like that after these 2 years and it's just still the same, does that put in your head? Well, I don't know, we don't know what his mindset, but that put in your mind where maybe I will take less to go.
I don't know. I have no idea. I mean, I don't think he's ever going to not view himself as the centerpiece of a championship team. He never has been at any level, so I don't know where he's decided that that's what he is, but I don't know. He's made $300 million deciding that's what he is, so who am I to tell him he's wrong?
I mean,
you know what I mean?
You can't be mad at him.
Yeah, I can't.
Can't be mad at him.
No.
You're supposed to, as an athlete, think highly of your damn self. You're supposed to, you know, especially him, he's always been the smallest guy, you know, and he's always overcome that and everything like that. So, yeah, this dude, and he has worked himself into one of the better players in the NBA. He's a damn good basketball player.
Yep.
You know, and so
you don't make an all-star team four times, even if you're the commissioner selecting two of those times, without being a very good player.
He's a damn good player, man. Yeah. And, you know, I think Dominique is the best player in Hawks history. He's right there behind him. That's how great he is, in my opinion.
I also think, though, that's kind of a similar comment to when we talk about Matt Ryan's place in Falcons history and what Falcons history is.
Right.
Hawks don't have some storied history.
No, they do not.
And you know, you're right. He's right up there, no doubt, as far as Atlanta Hawks go. Unfortunately, it ends kind of as unceremoniously as that did. Now, that lasted longer. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. This had higher highs in terms of proximity to a championship, winning in the Eastern Finals. But, yeah, I mean, yes, he is definitely one of the best Hawks of all time.
Yeah, yeah. And well, when he comes back, when he comes back February 20th.
Twice.
Yeah.
So, back to backs in February.
That's going
to
be the longest damn tribute video ever. They might do that at pregame. All right, because that damn tribute video ain't going to make a TV timeout, Andy. You know, all the highlights this that young man has given this city, man. It was a fun run, especially, like you said, that Eastern Conference final. I mean, that run was unbelievable. We all know what he did in New York City, how he stole Ben Simmons' soul without even doing anything, just standing there. Yeah,
Ben Simmons is a pro fisher now. He's a pro fisherman now because of Trae Young.
Like
he's out there catching marlins and tuna.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice.
That's what he's doing.
Good for him. Maybe that's something. Maybe that's what he always wanted to be.
Well, maybe.
A fisherman.
He's got a nice boat, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, man. I mean, yeah. No, I mean, maybe that's something that, you know, he go on the pro circuit.
I saw the I think he is.
He's on the professional circuit?
I don't want to go too far. I don't know exactly all the details, but I saw a tweet. It was like, while his NBA career is on hold, Ben Simmons.
On hold?
Yeah. what'd you say, Bo? Okay, so should I – should I stop talking and send it over there, or should I keep talking and tell people that, okay, soon we will we'll send you over to the Arthur M. Blank Foundation, where the owner of the Atlanta Falcons, Arthur M. Blank, is going to address the media. M?
Was it Michael? Marcus?
Marcus. Oh, that's a great question. Let me look it up.
Arthur Marcus.
Marcus would be awesome.
Oh, he's a New York guy?
Morris.
Morris, okay. Morris. Arthur Morris Blank.
Morris,
okay.
Morris is a classy name, man. Yeah,
like, you got to you wear blazers like him. Which, yeah.
Like, if your first name's Morris.
Morris.
There was Morris Claiborne, right? Was an NFL player.
Yeah, played corner.
That sounds like such a, like a... like a Motown singer.
Morris Chestnut.
Morris Chestnut. Yeah, yeah, just a classic.
One of the
actor.
Brothers that brought us, I mean, Wesley was the originator of the Dark Brother. Mm. But then Morris came through, man.
Morris Chestnut was part of the movement.
Yeah, Morris Chestnut was part of that movement, too.
Cool, his name was Chestnut.
Yeah, know? Chestnut. I mean.
Okay.
But
Abe's got his finger up for some reason, just to give people a play-by-play of what's happening
let
here.
Me
not that finger, by the way. Index finger.
Let me start off by saying welcome, media people.
Thank you to the fans.
Thank you, fans. blah, 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 blah. Are any questions? D-Led.
Oh, no. What we should do is time the opening statement.
Oh.
Over under 3.5 minutes. Over under three.
I'm going to go over.
Yeah, over two. Yeah, all right, let's send it over there. Here's Arthur Blank, owner of the Falcons. Oh, he's not sitting yet. Abe told me to go. Well, oh, good. Okay, I'm going to go.
Sorry, we're a few minutes late. Appreciate you all being here at the Arthur M. Blank Family Office and those who are joining on the live stream. Before we get into questions, just a couple of housekeeping items. As you know, we have 3 open searches. There's a lot of reporting out there about the candidates and other things. Just want to confirm again that we will announce completed interviews once completed. We will not be announcing scheduled interviews. So once we've completed an interview for all 3 searches, we will announce those. And we will have press conferences with all of the selected leaders that will be joining our organization. So we're going to start now. Just an important note, those interviews with the president of football are starting today. Arthur has a full schedule of meetings and interviews today and tomorrow. So we're going to go for about 20, 25 minutes, and we'll wrap up. We're going to go ahead and start with Mark Raimondi and Joe Patrick. We'll go from there.
Wherever you are. Okay. Hey.
The team finished on a 4-game winning streak, and there was some speculation that that might be enough to keep the status quo. Why did that not end up being the case?
You evaluate a team throughout the entire season, and in this case, over a couple of years, but let's say this for this season. And, you know, it was my conclusion as the season went on that we could not achieve or not achieving at the level that I thought this roster was capable of performing at. It wasn't for lack of trying. It wasn't for lack of effort. It wasn't for lack of commitment. I have great respect and affection both for Raheem, who I've known for 11 years, and Terry for 5 years. The fact that the team won the last 4 games, I think, is a credit to the players, a credit to the coach and coaching staff. But at the end of the day, I didn't think we achieved the level that we're capable of. And I think that it's an expression that I often use, that good is the enemy of great. And and I think we're capable of getting to another level. So that was the reason we made the decision.
Joe?
It was not a light switch went on and off. It was kind of a phased process over time. An awful lot of factors that go into it.
Yeah. Arthur, over here. Joe Patrick, 92.9 The Game. I'll just ask simply, what went into ultimately the decision to let go of Terry Fontenot and Raheem Morris, both individually?
I'd give, you know, it's a similar answer. I just concluded that I didn't think that those two gentlemen, as fine of people as they are, as much as I care about them personally and their families, et cetera, that they were providing the kind of leadership at the level to get us to the next level. And I felt that given the quality of the young players we have on offense and on defense and some seasoned veterans that are excellent as well, that we needed to move forward both in terms of a change as a head coach and a general manager. Very tough decision. It's a performance-driven league. All sports are, and certainly the NFL is no different than that. And so they understand that, and certainly I represent the fans. I've said this many times. I view myself as a custodian of the franchise for the fans. As they felt pain and anguish and frustration during the year, I felt pain and frustration and anger during the year myself. So it was a very thoughtful, balanced decision that took time to reach. But I think it was the right decision for us. And, you know, fundamentally, we wanted to add somebody who's a president of football. And it was kind of clear on the titles, not football operations, it's president of football, because sometimes people could interpret that as being, well, they're responsible for the operations stuff, the backroom stuff, administrative stuff, but this person that we're trying to hire will be responsible for everything that relates to a football and grass. And so both general manager and head coach will report directly to that person who will report to me.
Ken?
I guess I'll come on and ask. John Harbaugh is available. Can you evaluate him as a potential candidate?
Well, I mean, John has been one of the most successful coaches in the last 20 years in our league. Has won at every level, and so he would certainly be a candidate we would want to spend some time with. Whether or not he would have an interest in Atlanta, I don't know. I read earlier today he's not taking any interviews this week and probably will start this coming week. So I'm sure we'll have him on our cycle, assuming he's willing to take an interview with us.
Let's go to hometown, and then we'll go over here, and then back to Charles Odom.
How you doing, Arthur?
The Arthur Blank press conference here on the midday show with Andy and Randy.
For the process with the search firms, what guardrails do you think are in place this time to ensure that the final decision is a better one than the last two? And are you going to do anything differently? And will the search firms do anything differently in their approach to getting to the final decisions?
Well, I think I'd give you several parts to that, to respond to that. One, as we all go through life, we all have life experiences, and hopefully you grow through them, you learn from them, and then when you have the same opportunity to make another decision, you make it a little bit differently if it was a mistake previously. So I think we've learned, you know, this last sequence, some things we'd probably do a little bit differently in terms of points of emphasis. Both of these firms, Sportsology, we retained several months ago to do a deep dive on the health, if you will, of the football operations side of our business. They've got great experience in a multiple of sports in that regard, including the NFL. They pointed out some things to us, so they'll help with the search particularly in terms of the general manager search. And ZRG is one of the leading search firms in the world of sports and the NFL and football. So we'll be using their talents as well to help screen and filter and ask the right kinds of questions. We've our search committee will be structured a little bit differently than it has been in the past. Still be made up of a component of people that represent our leadership and all areas of our businesses. But we're going to put heavy emphasis. We're hiring this president of football first. That's the goals. And over the next couple of days, we have a series of interviews set up. We want to get that person in their seat. And have them lead the interviews for the head coach and general manager position going forward. Does that answer your question?
What will you do differently?
What will I do?
Yeah, now that the last two cycles.
What will I be doing? I'll be doing the same thing that I'll always be doing, which is being available, providing, you know, not only the financial resources, which is the easiest part of my job.
Build a website you love with Wix. For your words, create your brand, your opportunity, your breakthrough.
And doing whatever I can do.
Again, be sure to stick around after the press conference with Mike Conti's exclusive one-on-one with Falcons owner Arthur Blank. Let's get back to the press conference.
The inverted triangle, which we talk about in our business all the time, the guy that's way at the bottom is me. I'm there as a support system for all of our businesses, and certainly football is no different than that.
Back here, and then to Charles, and then
Arthur, right Glenn. Here. Yes, Garrett Chapman on SI. What role did the – I guess, first off, what went into the decision to draft Michael Penix and also sign Kirk Cousins? Who made that decision? And then what role did you feel like this had in the process that you made to part ways with general manager and head coach?
Well, I think, you know, we've talked about this a good bit in the past, but just quick summary, I think, you know, when Kirk became available, I think the football folks on, you know, the coaching side and personnel side both felt this was a athlete to perform at the highest level for 14 years in our league coming off of an injury. Our medical staff felt the injury was at a point where he could play and play effectively. So we stepped up, and because, you know, we want to win, we felt that was the right decision at that time. We drafted Michael because at that time we felt and still do feel that Michael was one of the most talented quarterbacks in the draft, and that thinking about the future and not going through a lull, we didn't have a franchise quarterback in place, which is a version of, I don't know what the right word would be, but it's a very difficult position to be in the NFL. It's hard to win in the NFL without a franchise quarterback. It doesn't have to be great, it has to be really good and solid. So we felt that someone like Michael we could draft, bring along for a couple of years. At some point Kirk might age out, really hasn't. He played well. Again, you know, the first half of last year, certainly, we were 6-3 and 2-game lead in our division before, you know, his play changed and Michael stepped up in the first part of this year. So we look forward to having Michael back. He's had good surgery. We spoke to the medical staff. It seems to have gone well. Kirk, we'll see what will happen with him going forward. But there were decisions about winning now over the next, you know, 2 to 3 years, and then bringing in a young quarterback and not putting the pressure on a rookie quarterback to have to perform at that level, but giving him an opportunity to learn under an experienced, seasoned veteran guy who has really been a great leader for us, I would say, over the last couple of years, both when he was playing in a support role to Michael last year, and then this year, support role to Michael and stepping up and playing at a very competitive level for us as well.
I will go Charles, Led, and then Bailey.
Since your interviews begin today for president of football, can you talk about what makes the ideal candidate? What are the qualifications, and are you open to considering someone who has no front office or executive experience?
I think the second part of your question has to do with Matt Ryan. So my answer to the second part of the question, Matt is somebody we've had a long relationship with, we've continued to talk with. He is one of the candidates we'll be interviewing. My response to that would be Matt Ryan came into the league as a rookie in 2008, ended up leading a locker room of 53 for 14 years. Leading in a huddle, being a great player, leading players, supporting coaches, et cetera. So his EQ and IQ when it comes to football is extraordinarily high. I've known Matt personally since 2008 and his family, and he's an outstanding individual, great community leader, the kind of person you'd certainly would want to consider in that position. But we have other candidates that we're interviewing as well over the next couple of days, starting this afternoon, this evening, and going into tomorrow and tomorrow night.
Ed?
Arthur, what did the consultants tell you about, the organization that led you to change the dynamics of the infrastructure? And or is the hope that this will stop the streak of 8 losing seasons?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think they pointed out there were certain areas without going into any detail, that from a support standpoint and building a roster and the quality of the analytics and some other areas that we could definitely improve upon. They felt areas of accountability and communication could be tightened up a little bit from what they have been. They spent a great deal of time. They interviewed close to 30 people, all one-on-one interviews with essentially everybody in the building, not with the coaching staff. With Raheem, they did, and with Terry, they did, but a lot of other folks, they did. And they shared a very detailed report that was written with a lot of quality and drew certain conclusions, which I had a sensibility about myself before, but it was good to hear it confirmed as well. So that was all part of the process. But at the end of the day, the decisions were mine to make, and it was all part of the input that was important to me.
Bailey?
When you look at the head coach, I believe this will be...
I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
Can you hear me now?
A little better, thank you.
When looking at the head coach position, I believe this will be the seventh position you'll hire for head coach. What do you feel like has been lacking there, and what is something you're hoping this round in the hire you can bring an edge to hopefully get this right?
Well, I think we've gotten a lot of things right with a lot of coaches over the years. I mean, I look back at the period of Mike Smith and Dan Quinn and those years when we had no history of winning. We won consistently during that 12-year period of time. I think you learn something from every experience you go through. And try to fine-tune the model and try to refine it and make it clearer as to what your expectations are, make sure there's clear communications, the same vision, you're holding people accountable. Holding people accountable in a performance-based business, which is what the NFL is really important. It's easy to say that. Sometimes it's hard to do that because you're in a foxhole every Sunday. There are bullets flying all over the place, some at you, some you're shooting. And so you develop this mentality of being together. So at times, I think that people, in my view, over 25 years in the NFL, there can be too much of a weight on loyalty and not enough of a weight on performance and holding people accountable in a more reasonable period of time. But you have to be patient, too, because you're dealing with system changes, you're dealing with new players, you're dealing with new orientations with players, moving them around. So change for the sake of change is very penal in the NFL. You want to be very thoughtful about it, not only on a personal level, but because it can impact the team in a negative way. You'll find those organizations that have achieved in the NFL at a relatively high level, one of the things they have consistently is continuity, not just with ownership, but continuity at a head coach and general manager level. We're adding a third component to it now with the president of football, which we think will add another level of quality, another level of emphasis and execution that we haven't had in the past.
We go to Allison, then over to Terrence, then to Tory.
Arthur, I just wanted to clarify. So do you believe that Michael Penix Jr. is the franchise quarterback for the Falcons and is a prerequisite for this new head coach to also keep Jeff Albrecht as the defensive coordinator with the way they finished?
Two questions. I do think Michael is our franchise quarterback. The injury he sustained was on his other knee. The surgeon felt 1,000% secure in the medical procedure they went through, and they really felt his knee was going to be even better than it was before. He's on a successful rehab program. He's back in Atlanta. He's committed mentally, physically. He feels good. So, yes, I would certainly see that. As it relates to Jeff Albrecht, in my view, he did a really fine job for us this year. Certainly look at the record of sacks and just the overall performance of the defense was definitely better than it's been in the past. And you can't dictate to a new head coach, who their coaches are going to be. But I certainly would recommend to a new head coach that they consider Jeff based on his track record, not only here, but his track record before with us in Atlanta. Then he went to New York, and his experience there for certainly a couple of years was at the very top of the league, too. So you know, I would certainly recommend somebody consider him. But it's not something we can require or mandate. The right head coach is going to want to put together their own staff. And they'll be working closely in this case. It's not the president of football won't do the head coach's job, but it'll have a working partner who has great football knowledge in that position that they can help build the staff with.
Terrence Torrey, then Josh Kendall.
Yeah, Arthur, in the more than 20 years you and I have been talking, yep. You've always been highly customer-focused.
Yep.
So given all the no-shows the last two or three years, how much did that factor into your decisions, you know, as far as the organization is concerned? And the second question would be, Raheem has mentioned a couple of times that when it came to the quarterback situations, that it was an organizational decision.
Mm-hmm.
So how much were you and Rich involved in that as opposed to just Terry himself?
The answer to the first part of the question, when you have no-shows, you know, that's not a problem. It's an indication of a problem. So it's like, you know, there's a fire caused someplace, or what caused the fire? So that's the reason for the changes, is the cause of the fire, not the fire itself. But we definitely, I mean, we're here for our fans. I tell our players whenever it's appropriate time, I just remind them, you know, without fans, either watching them in person or watching them on TV, we have 22 guys playing sailout football. And so they understand that. And so, you know, and the fans give us more than the resources. They give us their time, their energy, their passion, their commitment, their family time. I mean, they give us a lot of things. So we owe it to them to step up and make the right decisions in their behalf. And I always view the fans as sitting on my shoulders, all of them, and looking at the decisions that I'm involved in and any thoughts that I'm sharing. You know, what are the views of the fans? Doesn't mean they drive the franchise, but means they're obviously the reason, one of the major reasons we're here. Second part of your question was about, okay. Yeah, when you're making decisions, and I would say this is true for every owner in the National Football League, I've known them all for, you know, a long period of time. When you're making significant decisions like the Kirk Cousins contract or probably who you're drafting in the first round, you know, those kind of things, it becomes an organizational decision. I've been part of certain situations where that was not the case, and the result of that is never healthy. It's never healthy for the organization. So you want the organization to see the same vision, to buy into it, to support it, to all be in lockstep on those kinds of things. It doesn't mean you agree on everything. It means you have healthy debate before you make the decisions, but once you make them, you move forward together in support of those decisions.
So it wasn't totally Terry.
You're listening to the Arthur Blank press conference live here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, midday show with Andy and Randy. Also, don't miss our exclusive interview, Mike Conti and Arthur Blank, in the 1 o'clock hour as well. Let's get back to the press conference.
Making a decision that's going to affect everybody in a variety of ways at a fairly deep level without input and guidance and shared wisdom from other people. At the end of the day, somebody has to make that final call, and I understand that, but it's not normally going to be one person.
Torrey, Josh, and then Gabe.
Kind of to that end, when it comes to the president of football, Ro, I know we kind of talked around it a little bit, but what led to the decision to add that to the organizational structure, and what are attributes within an individual that could lead to success within that role?
I think what one of the reasons we felt it was necessary is that, you know, I'm not involved in a day-to-day basis in our football business. I'm involved, but not on a day-to-day basis, and shouldn't be. You know, because I have authority doesn't mean I have the knowledge. So we can never confuse the two. And if you get a leader who's in that position, they get confused, they can really make some bad decisions. So I've never been confused about that. So we wanted somebody else to have input and guidance and hold the accountability and work closely with the head coach and general manager to build their capacities as a coaching staff and building a roster, making sure it's consistently held within the vision that we have for the team, how we want to play ball on the offensive side of the team, on the special team side, on the defensive side of the ball. So that's the biggest role that person will play. And if we bring in the right person, it'll make a big difference in my view. Obviously, you still got to hire the great head coach, the great general manager, and the president of football will not be doing their jobs for them at all, but will be holding them accountable and giving input, wisdom, and guidance where necessary.
Josh?
To make sure I'm clear, yeah. The quarterback, the fact that the Kirk Cousins, Michael Penix sort of dual additions didn't work out or haven't worked out the way you'd hoped through the first 2 years, was that part of the factor in firing Raheem and Terry?
No. I mean, this is a, and that's a clear no. This is a performance-based business. I mean, I'm disappointed the way we ended this last year. I mean, this current the year before this current year. But, you know, we ended up not performing well at the end of the year. We were in a strong position. You know, this year, there's a lot of peaks and valleys, too many peaks and valleys, too many levels that were not consistent throughout our play. So it's a combination of things over a period of time, but it had nothing to do with the decisions that we collaboratively made about Kirk Cousins or about Michael Penix.
And to make sure I'm clear, the new president of football will be the final say,
yes,
on draft picks, on roster construction.
Well,
on...
I gave you a quick answer, yes. You don't want – you're not going to find a head coach at the level we want to see or a general manager at the level we want to see that are going to cede their job to a president of football. And you're not going to find a president of football who is really a balanced leader and a thoughtful leader who wants to do the job of other people working for them. That never works in any organization in any industry. So the general manager will do his job. The head coach will do their job. They both will be accountable to the president of football. So there'll be dialogue, exchanges, ideas, et cetera, et cetera. But at the end of the day, you want the head coach and general manager to have the final say in their areas of responsibility with the input and guidance from the president of football.
And finally, forgive me, given, you know, your track record with Rich McKay, was it a difficult decision for you to sort of fully remove him from the Falcons' decision-making process?
Well, I mean, Rich has a long storied history in the NFL. It goes back well over 30 years, but with us, you know, over 20 years, and we won a lot of games when he was our general manager. He was part of that whole transition. He's moved on to a whole bunch of other really important things for us. He's CEO of AMBSC. So what does that mean? It means that he's involved in the World Cup. He's involved in soccer, both Atlanta United and the new NWSL team. He'll be involved in a lot of community things. He chairs the Metro Chamber this coming year. I've done that once in my life in 2001. And that by itself is almost a full-time job. It's breakfast, lunch, dinners virtually every day, community meetings, leadership, things of that nature. So he's got a very full plate, and he will continue to serve as co-chair of the competition committee for the National Football League. So, and complete support of our commissioner, Roger Goodell, in that regard.
Go to Gabe, and then we'll wrap up with Carl and Chris.
There are now eight head coach openings.
Say again?
There are now eight head coach openings, and some of these candidates are going to have options.
Mm-hmm.
What do you feel separates this team in this situation from the other vacancies?
I think it's a really good question. I think what separates us, and somebody will have to make a decision on their own judgment about the quality of the ownership, et cetera, but that is always a factor. I would say that generically, not because I'm sitting here, but you know, to people who are in a head coach GM position or position of football, president of football, versions of that. And there are a number of those around the NFL that exist in three or four or five other teams now. They want to know they have stability at ownership. They want to make sure the ownership is committed financially, emotionally, culturally, and provide the support that's necessary for them to be successful. I'm sorry, the second part of the question. I apologize.
Oh, just how do you feel with your situation?
Okay, yeah. So, and I look at our roster, and I look at the young players we have on both offense and defense. We had a really great draft class, in my opinion, this last year. We've had some other players carried over from a couple of years before that. So I like both sides of our roster. I like some of the seasoned vets we have as well. I love our stadium, voted number one in the United States again for fan experience, and that's not unimportant. It's important to the players to have fans show up. It goes back to Terrence's question earlier. Players hear the fans. They see the fans. They want the seats filled. There's a lot of things that determine that. One is a competitive product on the field. but also the experience they have within the building itself. So I think all of those things, Atlanta is a great, great city, great market, and I think all those things are factors in somebody making a professional as well as a personal decision. Because, you know, you're talking to coaches and general managers, in many cases, if not all cases, they have families, and so they're making decisions not only for themselves, but for their wives or their wives' partners to help them make that decision, along with their kids and whatever. There's a lot of factors, but Atlanta's a great market, too.
Arthur, what do you say to the fans who are very frustrated? Obviously, you heard, I'm sure you've heard from them. You've just talked about your frustration. What do you say to the Falcon fans who are struggling with the idea that we can't seem to get this part of it right as far as the coach, general manager, et cetera? What's your message to them?
Well, I think you go back and look at our history since when we acquired the franchise in 2001. You know, we've had a great 14-year run under two head coaches. We've won a bunch of games. The last eight seasons clearly have been very disappointing. The losing seasons and not getting the playoffs. Both, you have a team this year that is a losing season and is in the playoffs. So we don't want to be in either one of those categories. We don't want to lose and get in the playoffs. We want to win and be in the playoffs. So we will commit our intellectual resources, our financial resources, any bit of intellect or wisdom we can bring from the outside, inside, to make sure we understand more clearly what is it we could do better, what is it we can set in terms of setting the expectations for a new head coach, general manager, what is a president of football, which is a position we've never had in the history of the Falcons, filled now, what that person is bringing to the table in terms of holding people accountable, making sure we maintain a vision. It's very difficult in this business or any sports business when you have too many changes. Changes become excessive. The hardest people it's on is the players.
New systems, you're listening to the Arthur language. Blank press conference here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game Midday Show with Andy and Randy. We've got to pause quickly for station identification.
Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
So, in my judgment, years, I knew that we had to make the changes. So this wasn't a time lapse kind of situation. It was a performance lapse situation that, in my judgment, I felt after 2 years with Raheem and his team and Terry after 5 years, I felt I've seen enough to know that we could do better than this in my view.
All right, we'll wrap it up with Chris D'Amino.
Arthur, good morning. If it was a wellness check, that Sportology.
I'm sorry, what?
If we're going to call it a wellness check, perhaps that's what Sportology did. It was a wellness check on the organization. What were one or two maybe the most surprising things that you read about the organization, and how big a point of emphasis did they say there might be a murkiness when it comes to the hierarchy of power? President of football, let's do that. And then perhaps even with Rich, emphasizing once again that Atlanta Falcon football decisions are going to be made by people other than Rich going forward.
Yeah, well, I mean, let me just clear that up again for the third time. I mean, Rich was not the focus of the report, it's very clear. If I showed you his calendar and his schedule, I mean, he doesn't have time for anything else. So we've asked him to move away from his time with football, which was very limited over the last number of years. It was there, but very limited, to focus on all these other things that we're involved in. I think the big things coming out of the report, I said this earlier, was that, you know, we have to have a consistent vision that everybody in the organization understands in terms of how we want to play the game consistently. You can go around the NFL, and there are certain teams, I don't want to name which ones, but you all probably can in your own minds, that if you would project 5 years from today, how do you think that team will be playing, what the points of emphasis will be in that team, you probably could pretty well predict, you know, the kind of ball they'll be playing. It might be changed a little bit, refined a little bit, but essentially. we need to have a clearer vision on offense, defense, and teams, how we're going to play. And then have a coaching staff that understands that clearly, have a GM that understands clearly how do you build players, bring them into the roster that match that system and that philosophy, and hold people accountable for their results and their decision-making and their performance. It is a performance-based business. It's a high-risk, high-reward kind of nature. That is the industry that we're in, and that's what we've chosen to be in, and we love the opportunity to do that. We have to make sure we represent all those values correctly and represent our fans the way they would expect us to. Not impulsively, but thoughtfully. But once decisions are made, you don't measure 3 years, 2 years, 1 year. When you see the facts come to you and you draw a conclusion and make a conclusion based on solid information, you make that decision as soon as you can. Hence, after 2 years, we've decided to move on from Raheem and staff and Terry and his group.
Can I just go back? Was there anything surprising in their report of findings that...
I would say that one of the things that thing that I probably was a little bit surprising was the lack of clarity on, about the vision for the team, and that's that's in any business in any industry. We don't have clarity around vision about what you're trying to establish and trying to build. You could end up with a lot of disparate parts, everybody moving in different directions. And that means you're not only unsuccessful or partially unsuccessful, but you can be very inefficient. As laser focused as you can be in terms of exactly what you want to do, you're going to make better selections of players, coaches, coaching staff. Hold that kind of consistency in place, and then you modify over time depending on what's happening in the game. The game is changing. The NFL has definitely moved to a more focus on offense and defense over the years. But you got to, particularly when it comes to the playoffs, teams that have really great defenses do well.
All right, thank you all for being here. We've got to get Arthur off to interviews and meetings. Thank you.
Thank you
and
all. We'll keep I appreciate it. Again, final word to the fans. Right. Thank you for your patience, your support, your own wisdom collectively and individually, and we promise you that we're 100% committed to bringing us back to the level that you would expect us to be at. So we appreciate that.
Thank you all.
There you go. Glad we got that last
bit in
there.
Way to go, Uncle Arthur.
There's the state of things for the Atlanta Falcons as we are in this sort of in-between time between the firings that took place,
yep.
The interviews that are taking place.
Today.
Yeah.
That he's on the way to
tomorrow
right now.
And all, yeah. Yeah, and all that. And then the hires that'll take place over the next days, weeks, or whatever.
Right.
I don't know. I learned that the president of football operations is going to be called the president of football.
Yeah.
Not the president of football operations.
Yeah, I understand that part.
I learned that Rich McKay is very busy.
Yes.
I don't want that job.
I still.
Like a lot of stuff
I mean,
going on. And dude, other than that,
like
I don't
all
know.
The damn jobs. Rich McKay, like he was talking about every day, breakfast, lunch, or dinner?
I don't like
that. Damn.
I don't even have breakfast lunch or dinner with my family.
Yeah, man. I'm
every
like,
single day.
What the hell is going on, man?
It's a lot. It's a lot. They can't run a football team while you're doing all that.
Man.
All the stuff that you would expect to hear. Going to try to get it right. Going to take the process seriously. The president of football, I guess, is going to have final say, but also
final
not.
Say on what?
We didn't say.
Exactly. He still answered my question.
Said
final on what?
Right.
Because when it was the personnel and yes, he's absolutely correct. There's no GM want nobody to tell him to do his job, and don't no coach want him to do it. So what final say?
I don't know.
What final say does a president who's never been executive I don't know.
Well, maybe the guy will have been an executive. I don't know. We don't know who it's going to be.
Yeah, that's right. let me go put some ducats on that.
He did still say, depending on who we hire, I still maintain it would be very funny if Matt Ryan doesn't get the job.
Oh, yeah, it'd be hilarious.
Like, he just did a bad.
It'd be hilarious. But what,
flood the interview.
Yeah, man. But that's what I'm saying.
Didn't do
final,
good.
Final say in what?
I don't know.
I guess. Whatever. But, no, I didn't find anything new out. But I'm glad that he. If anybody took something from like you, like right before the presser started, I asked you. I was like, "What do you think fans are wanting to hear?" If that helped you,
I didn't even really. Honestly, yeah. I thought maybe there was going to be a little bit more of like a this is time for almost like a rallying.
Oh
sort
no,
of tone.
We can't do that.
I didn't hear that. I mean, whatever. The tone is what it is, but they moved on from those guys and. Now they've got to get it right with these guys.
Yeah,
I mean,
well, they don't have no guys.
They will. They'll be guys.
They have no guys
they'll
right
be
now.
Some guys
but all right. Well, but, so is because of this presser, is all of that wiped away, new clean slate, and all that. And, you know, you answered the question about Ra. I love the fact that he talked about it was a collaborative effort, just like Ra did say. It was not the deciding factor in them getting fired, but it was.
Yeah,
but,
answer is they didn't fire them because of the Penix Cousins thing. They fired them because of the results. But the results were what they were because in part of the Penix Cousins thing.
Yes,
so
exactly.
So, I mean, look, it's like there's only so many ways you could answer football questions that aren't specifically who's going to do what.
Right.
Why did they get fired? They didn't win enough.
Thanks. I mean, when it all boils down
what
to
do you
it,
want the next regime to do?
Win.
Win more.
because that's what it is. If they win one more game this week, we're getting ready for playoff weekend and not having an end of the year press conference with Arthur Blank. Clearly, winning. He kept saying the same thing, and we should have put some decades on that. Result-oriented business.
Oh, yeah.
It is what it is.
If we did the Drinkster and Fans, though, we'd be hammered right now.
Yeah, we'd be leaning sideways,
good thing,
man.
We didn't do that.
My biggest takeaway, look, how about the status on our guy, Joe Patrick?
Question two.
How about the guy on our guy, Joe Patrick? Take that, D-Led.
D-Led didn't get the question like question nine.
Yeah, take that, D-Led.
Yeah, Smoking Joe's
Patrick.
Moving up. So now there's only, was it Mark Ramondi that got to go first?
Oh, man. So,
look out, Mark.
Hey, Mark, watch yourself, buddy.
Joe's going to shank you in the shower.
Joe is.
Oh, not in the shower. Yeah, but you know what I mean.
When the hell would they be in
it's
the shower?
It's not prison,
again?
But.
Yeah, when would they be in the shower?
I don't know.
Yeah. Joe's going to give you a sharp elbow in the scrum. Yeah, the next media scrum, Joe's going to elbow you in the kidney.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you watch out.
Yeah,
watch
man.
Watch out for Joe.
But, I mean, he now him saying it and it's becoming true, he does think that Michael Penix is a franchise quarterback.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and I like and we'll see about Kurt. That's the thing we said. We'll see about Kurt.
Yeah. He's gone.
Yeah, he gone.
Pretty good on that one.
Yeah. Like I said, Kirk Cousins, we'll see.
Yeah. So anyway, we'll continue to react to Arthur Blank's press conference. I know Mike Conti got a chance to sit down exclusively with Arthur Blank. We'll let you hear that conversation in the 1 o'clock hour as well. But we'll come back and get into all kinds of different NFL news and notes ahead of first round of the NFL playoffs. And again, react to what the Falcons owner Arthur Blank had to tell us about the future of the organization after this on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.